Hi, this is Yumi speaking from Korea, Seoul, the capital of Korea, and I'm here, the international, no, global network against
weapons
and nuclear power
in space.
Anyway, there's a big conference. I've never attended this conference before, but I was invited to come by Atsushi Fujioka, who's a very good friend of mine and a professor at Ritsumeikan University, to interpret for the Japanese delegation. There was about 20 Japanese people attending this international conference, but they don't speak English, so I was helping them with understanding what's going on and how this is happening because of this person I'm interviewing and inviting for. Today is my guest, Bruce Gagnon. Welcome.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good.
Okay.
Good
and
to meet you.
This is April 18th, 3 days in a row we've done the conference,
that's right?
Yeah?
That's right.
So 16th we went to that 38 degree demarcation line.
38 parallel.
Yeah, and then
the DMZ.
DMZ. And yesterday we had the all-day conference. We had a report from every country participating in this conference, and today we went to Pyeongtaek for that. So you are the architect, and you are the reason why we are all here. So please introduce yourself to my listeners.
Yes, my name is Bruce Gagnon. I live in the state of Maine in the United States, in a community called Bath, where I work for the Global Network. I've been working for the organization since its inception 17 years ago. And I actually began working on space issues all the way back, really, to 1982.
Wow, that's a long time ago.
Long time.
1982, already space issue was happening. I had no idea.
Yeah.
So
it's been happening really since the end of World War II.
Oh, I see. So it's a very long history.
When the Nazis were brought over to create the U.S. space program. And they brought with them a vision of control and domination using space technology.
Uh-huh.
So it's been around a long time. People just didn't really know about it.
I see. So how did you become to know about it?
Well, it's kind of an interesting story. I remember the exact date, June 12th, 1982.
Okay.
There was a demonstration in New York City, almost a million people protesting against nuclear weapons. They'd come from all over the world, part of the United Nations discussion about nuclear weapons. I didn't go, but I was watching it on cable television, where I lived in Orlando, Florida at the time. And after the coverage of that demonstration, the speakers was over, they switched to a right-wing conference. And the speaker at the conference was Ronald Reagan's head of Star Wars. At that time, they called it SDI.
SDI, I remember that SDI.
Strategic Defense Initiative.
Yeah,
and that,
Reagan.
So this general, Daniel Graham, was speaking. And after his speech, one of the questions from the audience was, "General Graham, aren't you worried about this demonstration in New York? They say there's almost a million people there." He said, "No, I think it's fantastic. They're out there protesting against nuclear weapons, and we're moving into space, and they don't have a clue. So let them keep doing what they're doing."
And he said that?
Yeah. And so it was in that moment that I said, you know, I need to find out about this. So that's when I started. And I began living in Florida with the Space Center there. I began taking people over and over and over again to the Space Center to learn and teach people and hold demonstrations. And through that, using demonstrations as a public participatory drama to bring in the community, because they called it the Space Coast there. And so there was a tremendous admiration and love for anything to do with the space program.
Yes.
So when there was a demonstration, the community becomes viscerally engaged in it, even if they're sitting in front of their television. So we were able to draw in a lot of people and create a lot of discussion in the community.
I see. When we say space program, it's, you know, very admirable thing, and everybody wants to be smart enough to be anything to do with space. That's the atmosphere in Japan. Is that same in the United States?
To an extent.
Yeah.
Although, you know, we've been working now many years organizing on this, so we're beginning to develop a constituency that has some understanding about mm-hmm. what's really happening and has a little bit more of a critical analysis, but we still have a long way to go.
Mm-hmm. Because they really play very well, you know. It looks like a fantastic thing, the technologically, and we should all go to, you know, moon after moon, we should go to there, and, you know, and it's something we, all the kids admire to be like.
And they work real hard to indoctrinate the kids mm-hmm. because I once heard one of these space people say that in 20 years these kids are going to be taxpayers.
Uh-huh.
And we want to make sure they support everything space.
Right.
So they're working real hard to ensure that that happens.
I see. So it's very important what really space is all about, and all this defense or actually offense factor of the space.
Yeah.
So tell me what's going on with missile defense. It's is that coming back of SDI, I should say?
Yeah, well, SDI never left.
Yeah.
When Bill Clinton became president, mm-hmm. one of the first things he did was to announce that he was shutting down SDI. It's over, he said.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, he very quietly created the Ballistic Missile Defense Organization. And mm-hmm. he moved the money that Ronald Reagan had in SDI, he moved it into what they called BIMDO.
BIMDO.
Ballistic Missile Defense Organization. Mm-hmm. And they continued doing what they were doing.
And so they cheated us in a way.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So when that happens, SDI is closed, everybody is happy and left the movement?
Many of my friends in the peace movement, exactly,
I see.
Called me and said, what's wrong with you, Bruce? Why?
So Clinton didn't shut it down. He just changed the name and continued the program. But many people didn't notice that. And how did you know?
Well, you know, you just continue to watch it.
The information was available. So.
Oh, of course.
Oh, okay.
There are many different aerospace industry publications
mm-hmm.
that report on all of this stuff,
mm-hmm.
and so we just track those. And
mm-hmm. I see.
Yeah.
All right, and you have been doing. This is the 17th meeting of the Global Network.
Right.
So, how many countries and what kind of membership and how effective, what's your achievement so far?
Well, you know, our goal always was to create a global consciousness
mm-hmm.
because we always said the only way we're ever going to stop the drive to create a new arms race and to put weapons in space is to create a global consciousness about it. And then maybe we might be able to stop it
mm-hmm.
if we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we looked around the world and we said the U.S. is setting up bases all over the planet
mm-hmm.
That are part of the Star Wars program. They talk to the satellites. Today all warfare on the Earth is coordinated by space technology. And so we began communicating with groups in these countries in Australia and England, Germany, New Zealand, Japan, all over the world where these facilities are being developed. And we began building this global network little by little, year by year, bit by bit. And
today
we have 150-some affiliated organizations around the planet. And each year we go to another place
mm-hmm.
that is somehow involved in these issues. And we meet, and as we've done here in
mm-hmm.
Korea, and people have come from many different countries and many Korean people, and we share stories with each other
mm-hmm.
from all these different places, and we educate each other, and we expand slowly the base of people
mm-hmm.
That are aware of it and can talk about it and can share, as you're doing with your listeners.
Mm-hmm. I see. So please summarize this three-day conference. It's hard, but so many things have happened, but please give us what we've done.
Well, the reason why we came to Korea is because the United States is now doubling its military presence in the Asian Pacific region in order to try to control China. because China's economy is growing, the United States is becoming secondary economically to China, and they've made a decision within the power structure of the U.S. to essentially use the military to try to stay on top.
Mm-hmm.
And so today the U.S. is surrounding Russia and surrounding China militarily. So that means in Japan and in Korea, there's growing militarization.
Yes.
And other countries in the region, but particularly these two countries, Japan and Korea. This means, too, then, that China and North Korea see this U.S. expansion, see this expansion by the Korean government, by the Japanese government. And so they say, well, we've got to grow, too. We've got to, North Korea responds by launching a rocket. I don't think there's any danger that North Korea is going to attack Japan or attack Korea or attack the United States. North Korea is just crying out like a frightened child in a way, saying, please, someone pay attention to me. Stop. Look, you know, I'm being surrounded. And I think that's really what's going on. So as a result, we're off to a new arms race. That means that monies for social spending will have to be cut in all of our countries as the military grows and grows and grows.
Mm-hmm.
And then this idea of missile defense. We're going to have a rocket hit a rocket in order to protect us.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big lie. Missile defense is part of the U.S. First Strike program that is now under development. The idea is to have a sword and a shield,
mm-hmm.
so that when you attack a North Korea or you attack a China or a Russia, that you not only can hit them with the sword, but then when they respond militarily, mm-hmm. to the U.S. attack, you also have a shield to protect yourself from their response,
mm-hmm.
from their retaliatory capability.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't really tell the public, give me a lot of money so I can have a sword and a shield.
Mm-hmm.
So they say, oh, we're going to have missile defense to protect us against the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then they try to frighten everyone into believing that this is really what it's about.
Yeah.
So this is essentially what we talked about.
Right. Now I'm understanding. So it's more likely U.S. preemptively attacking other country, China or Russia, and China or those enemies will do something, launch missiles, something, and missile defense is for that.
Exactly.
Attack. Yeah.
So
U.S. will do first strike.
Well, let's just use an example. The U.S. Space Command, mm-hmm. that is now in charge of all of this military warfare, every year for mm-hmm. the past several years mm-hmm. has been having a war game set in the year 2016 where the U.S. launches a first strike attack on China. So they're actually war gaming this today at the Space Command in the United States. Now, today, China has 20 nuclear missiles mm-hmm. that are capable of hitting the west coast of the United States. 20.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, the United States has several thousand nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know that China is not going to launch an attack mm-hmm. on the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
It would be foolhardy, and China's not going to do it. But if the United States launched a first strike attack mm-hmm. on China, and let's say took out 15 of China's nuclear weapons mm-hmm. in that first strike attack,
mm-hmm.
China then fires its remaining five mm-hmm. nuclear weapons in a retaliatory strike,
mm-hmm.
then the so-called missile defense system might pick off those,
mm-hmm.
and then the U.S. doesn't really suffer anything. That's
mm-hmm.
the theory behind
mm-hmm.
it. That's that's the rationale behind this movement. And again, but it has to be sold as something noble.
Mm.
That's why I call it a Trojan horse.
Uh-huh. So Trojan horse is... So missile defense is a Trojan horse, and we are deceived. It's something noble and something works, and it's even cost-effective, they talk about.
Oh, yeah, they say that, but it's not.
It's very expensive.
Yeah.
All the military budget is getting cut in Japan, except missile defense. It's only missile defense is more and more and more, and then our total budget is going up, you know? And I'm sure it's the same with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not true. But they are good at lying and deceiving us, so we have to reveal the facts And we have to make the connection with people who are like suffering from poverty or suffering from, you know, the money in education is gone in Japan, like welfare, the hospitals, they're closing down, or the public hospitals. And where the money is going, you know, our tax money is going for missile defense.
You know, we have a lot of problems on this planet. We're all concerned about climate change and environmental problems, and resources are declining around the world. We know that those are facts.
I'm concerned about children dying, you know, without food or water every day.
And I think the power structure, the power elite, recognizing that things are becoming problematic, the power elite has made a decision to kind of move into their castle and to build their trenches around the castle and to build walls around that and to kind of use the resources of the people to grab every last thing they can and to try to hold the people off. I call it 21st century feudalism. And this is where the power elite, the oligarchy, wants to go back to. This is where they want to take us. And we can't let them do it. And many people are deceived by these ruling oligarchies because they use the media to frighten us, to make us afraid of each other and everything else. So we've got to be able to separate the wheat from the chaff. We have to be able to separate the lies from the truth and to trust our instincts because usually we know when they're deceiving us and we have to learn to trust ourselves, because one of the things that the media is so good at is making us doubt our own judgment. And so I think this is a really important thing for us to learn to trust our instincts and to begin to organize with each other and to begin to organize with people all over the world. This is our savior. This is our saving grace. That the way we beat corporate globalization is to globalize the nonviolent resistance all over the planet, having people move together as one world to protect our Mother Earth and to protect our future generations.
Yes, yes. Thank you very much. So this conference has how many countries? Tell me which country. I know Japan is here, U.S., England,
Sweden,
Italy, Netherlands, Australia, Korea, China, Taiwan.
There's people here from Africa,
Africa.
Burma, from many. I counted about 20 or 25.
Yeah, that's wonderful, yeah.
Countries.
And the missile defense is going, like, I was surprised with Philippines' situation that all the bases were closed, so I thought, great Philippines, you know, but there's like new, how do you call it, visiting
forces agreements, yeah.
Isn't
and they're creating awful? They're creating these little bases they call lily pad bases.
Yeah.
And they're doing the same in Africa.
I see.
The U.S. has created a new command called AFRICOM. Mm-hmm. And they're building these little lily pad bases all over the African continent for quick intervention to suppress any opposition to control of African resources.
I see. As long as we are dependent upon those resources, unrenewable resources, we would keep fighting, you know?
That's right.
We have to find a way so that we can live sustainably without depending upon those unrenewable resources.
That's right.
So that's something I'm really working on, showing the way, the kind of model that you could do it, you know, by growing your own food. And our household has wood stove and cooking with wood fires and things like that. So I'm going back to my lifestyle is very, very like 200 years ago, very old style of living. People don't believe I live like that, but we do, and we really enjoy. And one day I'd love you to come visit my farm.
Oh, that'd be great. Let me give our website.
Yes, please, yeah.
People could
go
there.
To learn more about it and to show your film. There was a film you said.
Yeah, we have a bunch of several videos, but one of them in particular I recommend is called Arsenal of Hypocrisy. And if you go to our website, which is spaceforpeace.org, and in the menu, just look for a thing called Space Videos and click on that and go in and watch some of our videos.
All right. Yeah. So let's go to spaceforvideo.org.
Space for Peace.
Oh, spaceforpeace.org.
Right.
O-R-G, okay. Okay, this was Bruce Gagnon. I've known his name because I contacted him once when I was campaigning for the Global Peace Campaign, putting a peace ad in New York Times. I contacted his organization and sent him email, and we exchanged some conversation, I think. Yes. Maybe I even called, maybe I didn't.
No.
But I emailed him.
Yeah.
So it's been this is 2009, so that was 6-7 years ago.
Hmm. So, time flies.
Yeah. You've gone 7 years, me too. But you're doing wonderful work, and I'd love to continue to stay in touch and to keep watching the space programs and missile defense in Japan and also worldwide.
Good, thank you.
Yeah, so thank you very much.
Good luck.
Good luck for you too, and let's survive and create peace on Earth.
There you go.
Together. Thanks. Bye.